acceptable from you, I may do this from right here, if that works. Appreciate your time today. My name's Larry Kelly with the Port of Port Arthur. I'm the deputy director. And as Mr. Brannick said, Director Gaspard sends his best regards and left it in my charge. An aerial view of the Port of Port Arthur. We're located 19 miles off the Gulf, roughly 2 hours by ship. We were impacted by Hurricane Ike, and through our efforts, what we wanted to do is identify some projects, worthy projects, largely pertaining to coastal erosion. I will tell you, we're also, we pursued other avenues with this. We've worked or tried to work with FEMA on this, and the projects I have listed range anywhere from up to roughly $25 million, depending on the scope of the project. FEMA's level of support's been $10,000. What I'd like to do is kind of go through the two or three of the small projects. The area in question, there's a pointer somewhere. The area in question we're going to talk about is this area right here and down here, and then ultimately I'll show you the whole 1 mile. The property was recently acquired from the Kansas City Southern Railroad, approximately 1 mile. That is the future of the port. That's the area right for set for develop for future development. Upriver the bridge and then downriver, and I'll show you a couple pictures of that. There's some of the erosion that's in question. You can tell over the years we've put forth some efforts to try to cap it, but obviously the effects of Hurricane Ike superseded that. This is part of an old tieback system. We're not necessarily looking to restore the exact bulkhead tieback system, but you can get a feel for what was lost during the impact of the storm. This is the foot of a rail bridge, part of our tail track, one of our last railroad expansions out there, and some of the scouring effects of the water. This area is also the outfall for DD7. Feels very familiar with this project, and part of the efforts would be to cap this. This is an image from a boat of some of the recently acquired property downriver. Gives a good indication of what scouring occurred during Hurricane Ike. From the aerial that I'll show, and then here's provided with an engineering study for your review of what we've done so far, is to try to identify what the cost would be. Got a couple more aerials I wanted to put in front of you. This area here is our stormwater discharge. We take it all out through here. We have an ability to cap it. This is part of the DD7 outfall. Some of the areas in one of the subsequent pictures you'll see is we have it outlined. This area here, this area up in here, and then down here, at least the immediate work that we'd like to look at. We've demonstrated to FEMA the post and pre-Ike. Once you lay the photos side by side, it's pretty apparent that we've had continued damage, in addition to the normal scouring that's occurring due to vessel traffic. There's a post-Ike aerial, and then I've got one or two pictures. One picture I wanted to demonstrate of the entire waterway of the recently acquired land. I may have missed that one. This area right here demonstrates the bulk of the 55 acres that was recently acquired. Obviously, the area that we're focused on is just right here. There is a need, obviously, you can tell down here. Downriver, there has been some efforts made where an old rail track existed, and there's not the erosion is not as bad, but you can certainly see what's happening here. This entire area, and actually half the port, lies outside the seawall. The seawall exists right, or the berm exists right here, so most all of this area was inundated by 4 to 5 feet of water during Hurricane Ike. That's in principle what we're looking at. I've got three or four different areas for funding. We've got roughly $150,000 that would be to accommodate the area immediately in front of the rail track. I think there's a funding level for $275,000 that is that area adjacent to the DD7 outfall and underneath our rail bridge. From there, ultimately, gentlemen, we're going to have to look at, for the development of the port, a bulkheading or a tieback type system for future development, and that runs the length of it. The numbers are, you know, they're all over the page. With the drop in steel and concrete prices, they've obviously come down quite considerably. That may ultimately be a bond issue for the port, but certainly something that we've got to look at. And the last area I added on there, Jeff, it wasn't on the list, I placed it on there today. We estimate just roughly the cost of study to put the bulkheading and tieback system being roughly about $150,000. Gentlemen, I value your time. I don't want to take all day. I certainly want to answer and address any questions you may have. This funding area, and I'll tell you, I mentioned our role that we work with FEMA. Also, as we pursued other grant opportunities, the EDA and everyone else, and I'm sure Phil can tell you this as well, is that once you start bringing up Army Corps permitting, it kind of puts the brakes on it. So it's one of the reasons why we've obviously come to you with this select project. Any, yes, sir. You're correct.
So, looking at the numbers at C, I assume what's the number would be?
D, we estimate roughly $150,000. Although I do have a proposal for the study. Yes, sir. Just to the engineering work on this area alone, we received a quote for $75,000, but it's actually kind of a complex little area they have to work with. I think there would be some economies as they move down the river.
Probably 19,000 Sean Davis and our ORCA, because I'm not certain this project B is
eligible. Reviewing the community block grant, I don't believe that studies are, but we trying to place it on parity as far as what we're looking for.
Because,
yes, sir. Step into the bottom line. That is fine.
575.
Correct.
All right.
Gentlemen, I appreciate your time today. Thank you very much, sir.
I
here's some right here.
Is this for all county projects?
These are for all the preliminary applications that were made, we turned into the governor's office back after the storm.
Yeah, that's yours.
Y'all will look at this list that we just gave you.
If I get one?
If you look at the last, it's on Drainage District number 7. Go over to the right on there, one for $5,898,000. Scratch that one, the board pays for that.
Yeah, I already scratched.
Okay, go down to Harrison County Water Control Improvement District number 10. They've got $765,000. That's going to total $300,000. On number 14, it's Fort Walmart. They've already got that done. So that $500,000 is out.
Number 575 total.
Fort Walmart's got no request.
No.
What?
Zero.
No.
They pulled their.
Oh, okay.
Fort Walmart down number 16, Sabine Nation Navigation District. You can take off that $7.5 million. Number 16 under that project number.
Oh.
$17,200.
Scratch that.
And the 17 is, was $2,500,000. That's $2,110,000 now. And, let's see, on. Just have to wait and see what county insurance will go for that guy.
What?
No, we already did.
You changed 11, 12, right?
Right, that's total of $300,000.
The one we don't have on here is Cardinal Meadows. We need to add that to the bottom.
Yeah, this is.
We're kind of going to run until. We're at.
We've already made that request. Sean Davis had that money set aside. If we get the permission of the Secretary of Health and Open Town.
Four other ones, one five,
6,000. No, that's what I missed. What was the odds?
One five, went to what? 575.
Okay. And it probably.
Probably going to drop down to 420.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yes, sir. For right now, we're going to wait to see what we hear from Bean Pass Board and the LaBelle and that volunteer fire department. They may have some interest, but I'm not sure.
All right, Mayor. Good afternoon, Commissioner Court. We're limiting this quick brief and request to transportation assets and critical continuance of government facilities, because that's the business we're in, I guess. The three things I want to talk about are the roads damaged by flooding and their associated problems, the bridges damaged by moving floating debris, and that are weakened in a weakened stage, even though we continue to use a couple of them. And the critical facilities to the continuation of government, such as the jail, the courthouse, Port Park. Just for your record, I have included it. We won't go through each one of these roads. Is the length of each road and the name of each road by precinct that we believe not only was it submerged but damaged during the Hurricane Ike event. This is precinct 1. Let me go back there. It's precinct 2. And by the way, the bottom number is what we estimate the cost to be to repair those roads. You'll see that Left Road is currently closed. It's closed due to damage, and because TxDOT, as well as we, the county, believe that it presents a danger to the citizens to be crossing over. Until we fund it and repair it, it will remain closed. Cragen Road, as well as Humble Camp Road, are bridges that have suffered significant damage with TxDOT to classify them as severely damaged in the pile system. Their latest report, latest inspection report, subsurface report indicates that we ought to replace the bridge. We're afraid of...
We have replaced bridges.
We've replaced a few bridges.
Quite a few, right?
Right. Yes, sir. As a matter of fact, let's see, I have a note in here. Just want to make sure I quote the right bridge. Wilbur Road.
We've had a round of disaster funding in Orca. It was Orca 1 and 2 during Rita.
That's a total of 10 bridges we're replacing under that round of repairs.
Let me ask a really stupid question. Are these breakdown estimates of damages which do not include Rita?
This is not Rita.
None of this is related to Rita.
Yes, sir. This is strictly Ike.
It is not.
No, sir, these are all damages either directly associated with Rita or in the case of the bridges, Ike, or in the case of the bridges, we've suffered some damage and we anticipate significant damage in the near future when the next flood event happens and all the debris that is now in the banks or nearby makes its way to the creeks and flows down to these already weakened bridges, like on Wilbur Road, collapses the bridge, and then we have somebody hit the road and almost fall into the water line. Mrs. Cragen, that was the lady who actually hit the embankment of the eroded bridge at Wilbur Road and ended up in the middle of the bridge just by miracle. So just a little bit more, she'd have been over in the water.
I'll ask you for my professional cover.
Yes, sir. That's those 10 bridges we're now working on.
We're now working on. And what I don't want to do is get ARCA trying to overlap these two things.
No, sir. These do not overlap. Okay. This is strictly Ike. Anyway, the two bridges, Cragen Road and Humble Camp Road, those are damaged. One of them is in danger of us having to close it because it is so bad. So it is urgent that we get funding for these bridges.
Critical.
Yes, sir.
Theoretically, sooner or later, TxDOT might have to fund it. The problem is that we can't do this new disclosure bridge.
I think 2013 is the next bridge replacement cycle that we can expect any funding from. So yeah, it's way out into the future, and we really shouldn't wait. Oops, let me go back. Critical facilities. Ford Park Staging and Arena. That place is used after every significant disaster for FEMA to stage, and all the assisting entities that come down to us with power, with transformers, generators, cherry pickers. Their equipment, who are the electricians that come to restore our power, everything gets staged out of there. And this funding here, the $6,500, you have a listing there.
$6.5 million.
You have a listing there of what's included. But again, it is the only facility that we have that is capable of supporting that sort of activity. Included in there is parking lot improvements because there's 1, 2, 3 large parking lots that get damaged every time an event like that happens. And we really ought to harden them up a little bit so that they don't go through the damage that they go through every time.
We do not have a detailed listing on our
I'm sorry, sir? actually made a few generators under that grant application, but there's no guarantee that it will be funded. It's just strictly, it's very competitive. It competes with the entire state, not just the areas that were affected by the hurricane.
Well, Jose, one thing I've spoken with Commissioner Apple, a lot of the crowd of me coming in the office, a lot of the constables and the people, precinct three people staying at this facility.
Yes, sir.
Which is a brilliant idea, and I appreciate that. I'm saying publicly. That's probably, I'd have stayed there if I knew I was working in the Timothy Apple. But that sub courthouse, that's a generator rated curve that lights up the hallway, and that's all.
It's strictly an emergency lighting generator.
Yeah, but to get back online in South County, we're going to need something. You know, I mean, that's once we were able to go back into the area, which I came back.
We had
the Ike and I was at that. That's
it's,
how
it's similar to what we currently have at this facility, Commissioner.
Okay.
When the power goes out here at this building, the AC doesn't work. The only thing works is limited lighting here on the fourth floor, sheriff's office communication, certain offices, and that's what we're having to upgrade. And we should have a specs of what it would take to upgrade the sub courthouse. And
has it been assessed?
We do have it.
And
we have the transfer switch and the generator.
Offered has.
Well, I'd like to be considered for that because, you know, I've been to two hurricanes, Rita and Rita from the city, and I'd like to get back in and get online. Portland, you know, nothing against the city of Fort Arthur, but I don't want to have to work out
yes,
a holiday. I'd rather be downtown.
We have the associated cost, the sizing of the transfer switch and the sizing of the generator available. We can add it to the list for precincts 3 and 4 if that's what.
What about the huge generator that's been 18 years? Can you get
it out today? Yeah, that's
it's installed in precinct 1. Is it not?
Small one.
Right.
200 and something.
500.
500 cash deal here. The 200 we open all of our concerns. Made it a permanent.
Now, the 500K, once we get the two permanent 500s, that's going to free that up.
That will be more. It all depends on, I mean, you can have it running. It'll just be running at low efficiency. And it'll be more than enough to handle that entire facility. That's not a problem. I don't know.
The owner is sitting there.
Yeah. It's just sitting
the plant, we evacuate down here. So these are the jails, not using the facility.
Well, if we're not using
well,
it, how do we put it in the sub courthouse?
Right now, it is being used. It's hooked up to us.
You're going to have to wait until the Port Security Grant money comes in to pay for